And please be seated. If you'll turn back in God's Word to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. We are continuing our series looking at wise words for godly living. It's happened again. Why have I fallen into the same sin? Why do I always struggle with the same temptations? Why is it so hard to choose the right path? Why do I have this desire to do the wrong thing? Temptation is something that we all face. There's attractiveness to certain sins for us. The lure of satisfying our desires, our lusts, even if that means going against God's word. Temptation to sin is a real struggle. But this shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us because we live in a fallen world. We live as those who will struggle in a battle against sin and temptation. Isn't this why Christ taught his disciples to pray, "Lead me not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." Also, we shouldn't be surprised by temptation because Christ Jesus himself was tempted. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. In the wilderness, he faced three temptations that we know of. Each and every time, he was tempted in a specific way. And yet, each and every time, he resisted. And it's important for us to remember that his temptations were real temptations. We'll never have to face those specific temptations that Christ faced. But we will face ones like them. Remember what the temptations were. Turning stone into bread. That temptation to fill his own desire. That temptation to satisfy his own need before obeying the will of his Father in heaven. A real temptation. Throwing himself off the temple to be caught by angels. The temptation to prove himself as important. To test God. To show that he has a place of authority in this world. Rather than being submissive to the purpose of his Father. A real temptation. Bowing down before Satan. To be given the kingdoms of the world. The temptation to take a supposed easier route to complete a task. Christ was going to inherit the kingdoms of the world. How much easier to bow to Satan, so it would seem, than going to the cross. A real temptation. In each temptation, Christ, of course, replied using the word of God. He used scripture. "It is written," he said. He used the words of his Father in heaven. The Son spoke into each temptation with the Father's authority. And in Proverbs, we have the words of a father to a son. In Proverbs 7, "My son." Here we have the giving of wise words when the son is tempted. And this morning, as we continue in our series looking at wise words for godly living, we come to Proverbs 7. And we see here that we have wise words for when we are tempted. At chapters 5 to 7 of Proverbs, they deal with a certain type of woman, the adulterous woman. And she seeks to lure young men into her path. She's seductive. The temptation is there. And so the father here is speaking to the son, giving him words to keep him on the right path. And here we have words for us. Words to keep us on the right path. Here we have words to help us to say no to sin. Words to keep our hearts from turning aside to the wrong way. Our key verse, and remember, for each of these wise words for living, I'm trying to give us a key verse to help us remember what we're being taught. It's found in chapter 7 and verse 25. Here is the verse that we can focus on and unpack. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Here are wise words for when we are tempted. And we see firstly the nature of temptation. The nature of temptation. It's important for us to realize that temptation itself is not a sin. We are all tempted. We're all faced with choices. And sin is crouching at the door. And sin is beckoning us to take her path. That's what temptation is, where the choice comes to either follow God's way or to follow the way of sin. Sin is when we take the wrong path, when we make the choice to disobey God, when we follow that wrong desire. So the temptation itself isn't sin, because we are all tempted and Christ was tempted. But don't be fooled. Sin isn't just the outward actions. Sin can be carried out in our thoughts. The temptation is there. It comes into our mind. It knocks at the door of our heart. And what happens but the mind gives in? It dwells on those wrong, sinful thoughts. It lives out that wrong scenario. It stirs up anger towards that person. We plot their downfall. Or it makes us jealous of what someone else has. Or maybe our eyes linger longer than they should do. They drink in the sin that we see before us. They consider, what would it be like to take that wrong path? And so we have to be careful. Temptation isn't a sin, but remember, sin isn't just the outward actions. It already takes place in the heart and the mind. So be careful. Well, let's think about the nature of temptation. What are her ways that we read of in Proverbs 25. What do they look like? Well, we see firstly that temptation is attractive. Her ways are attractive. Her paths are seductive. We wouldn't be led into sin if there wasn't some sort of attraction or pleasure in the sin. Look back through Proverbs 5 to 7. Look at verse 3 of chapter 5. Here we have the temptation, and in this case, although we're expanding it further, it's the temptation of this woman who lives an immoral life. And here in verse 3, we're told that the lips of the forbidden woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil. That there's something attractive. Chapter 6, verse 25. Again, speaking of the adulterous woman. Do not desire her beauty. It's not an ugliness, although ultimately it is ugly before God. But there's something desirous about it. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. There's something seductive about temptation and sin. Proverbs 7 verse 21. With much seductive speech she persuades him. With her smooth talk she compels him. And this is the thing with temptation. It promises us pleasure. Her paths promise us that we will benefit. They say to us, you will do well to follow me. Choosing this path will bring you joy. It will bring you delight. Temptation sets out before us a choice of sin, and it dresses it up to make it look enticing and desirable. These chapters are, of course, dealing with the temptation of wrong, sinful relationships. The temptation of using the words from chapter 5, drinking water from another well. And we know that this includes our thoughts. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 28, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We know that there are certain things that we shouldn't look at. There are certain things that our minds should never dwell on. We can sin with our eyes, and it's a real temptation and danger. It looks attractive on the outside. Tempted by seductive images. But temptation is more than just sexual. There's the temptation to follow the crowd. For the boys and girls who are here, you face temptations, and sometimes your temptation is to do the wrong thing that your friends are doing. Boys and girls, listen to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. These are good verses for you. My son or daughter, if sinners entice you, that is, if they say to you, come over here, do not consent. If they say, come with us, don't follow. Sometimes your friends will say to you, come and do what we're doing. It'll be great fun. It'll be a laugh. It'll be really good for us to go and do this thing, whether it's tease someone, or maybe go into a shop and steal something, or for the older ones to go to a place that you know you shouldn't be at. Don't listen to them. They can make it look really attractive. They can make it look really nice. They can make it look as though it'll be the best thing ever. But it won't be. Temptation is attractive. Further on in Proverbs 1, they speak of gaining more possessions, more money, greedy for gain. And isn't there a temptation to have money, to have wealth, to have possessions as a priority? What is the driving force in your life? What motivates you when you get up? Is it getting more and more? Is it getting that promotion? Is that what drives you forward in your life? Is it trying to get a better job? Trying to get more money? Is that what's taking priority? It's tempting, isn't it? The attractiveness of great financial wealth. The attractiveness of the promotion. The attractiveness of getting more and more possessions. The attractiveness of greed. It speaks to us with smooth speech. Its lips drip honey. But if those things are driving your life forward, then you're giving in to temptation. They promise us pleasure, They promise us satisfaction. The temptation is there. Any sinful desire is a temptation. And we must realize that this is an attractiveness, this false promise of pleasure. But friends, it's an attractiveness that is covering up a hidden danger. Because we see, secondly, as we think of the nature of temptation, it is against God. Temptation is against God. It's asking us to choose the path that God has not called us to follow. It's asking us to go against God's truth. The words of the Father to the Son, Proverbs 7. Look at verses 1 and 2. The Father is saying to the Son, keep my words, treasure up my commandments, keep my commandments, keep my teaching. Isn't this the problem that Adam and Eve faced in the garden? What did God command? Do not eat this fruit. What was the temptation? The fruit looked good for food. Oh, it was pleasing to the eye. It was attractive. But that attractiveness was hiding something terrible. It was going against what God said. And this is what temptation is offering us. Either we can follow her path, or we can obey God. Either we can go against God and follow the false promises of that temptation, or we can listen to what God says and follow Christ Jesus. And this is our choice. This is the choice that we face every day, because every day we face temptation. Every day we are being asked, will you obey God or will you disobey God? It's the choice that Christ faced in the wilderness. And this is the nature of temptation. In every temptation, he was asked, will you obey or will you disobey? Let's not fool ourselves when it comes to the nature of temptation. We can all be quick to make excuses for our sin. Oh, well, you don't understand the circumstances I was in then. Well, you don't understand how much temptation I had to endure before I gave in. You don't really realize I was tired. I couldn't see any other way around it. I was just looking at it for a short time. It wasn't really my fault. It's only a small sin. Proverbs 7:25. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. It might look attractive, but the nature of temptation is our choice is either we obey God or we disobey God. The nature of temptation. Secondly, the danger of temptation. And this follows on as we think about it being against God. The danger of temptation. John Owen, the Puritan, he says this about temptation. It covers the hook with bait and spreads food over the net. There's a hidden danger for the fish as it swims in the ocean. There's that little maggot, that little worm, that bit of bait. It comes along, looks attractive, and the fish bites. But there's a hidden danger. And that sharp hook catches the fish in its mouth. The fisherman reels it in. Look at the way Proverbs gives us graphic pictures to describe this for us. Verse 22 and 23 of chapter 7. Here we have three animals. There's an ox, a stag, and a bird. And each one of them meets a grisly end. The ox is going to slaughter. The stag is pierced by an arrow, and the bird is caught in the snare. Each one has been tricked. They've been trapped. There's a hidden danger that they're unaware of. And sometimes when we give in to temptation, we don't realize that there is in fact a hidden danger. Maybe at times we were unaware that what we were about to do was wrong. But we are smarter than these animals. These animals are only following their instinct. Nearly all of the time, when we give in to temptation, we know that we are going against God. And yet, we still bite down on the hook with the bait. We still walk into the snare. We are sometimes so caught up with the false promises of sin that we ignore the danger. Think again of Adam and Eve. They were caught up with the false promises that they ignored the danger. Oh, but you will be like God. And look how tasty this food is. It will be so juicy and delicious. The false promises. They ignored the danger. Proverbs 6, verse 27 and 28 puts it well. I really like these verses. Verse 27 and 28. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? What do we expect when we play with sin? When we dabble in it, when we flirt with temptation, do we think that we are not going to get burned? I know I shouldn't watch this program, but it won't really do me any harm. You will get burned. If it's wrong, it will do you harm. I know I shouldn't go to this place, but it'll be okay. No. If you know you shouldn't go to that place, then going there will do you harm. Do you think that carrying a fire close to your chest means that your clothes won't go up in flames? I know I shouldn't be doing this. But no one will see. It'll be fine. No. We will be harmed. We will suffer. And the danger of giving in to temptation is that we will be affected. Because not only will we be sinning against God, but the more and more that we give in to temptation, the more we will be consumed by that sin that we are tempted with. The harder it will be for us to say no the next time. And that sin will entangle us, and it will choke us, and it'll harm us spiritually. Listen to the warning of Proverbs in 27:25. Do not turn aside. Do not stray, because every time we do so, we're going to be harming our relationship with God here on earth. Here on earth, as believers, we are either growing in Christ-likeness or we are becoming cold towards God. And the danger of giving in to temptation is that we will hamper and we will seriously harm our spiritual growth, perhaps even worse. Proverbs 7, 26 and 27. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. The danger of temptation is that when we fall, When we give in, we are choosing the path that leads to the grave, leads to hell. It's of course true that for all who are in Christ, we will never be lost. If we've been saved by God's grace, it is God's grace that will sustain us and keep us. But friends, there is a warning for us here this morning. Always giving in to temptation, always following our lustful desires, that false promise of pleasure and satisfaction, it could mean that we are not on the path of Christ at all. But rather we are on that path that leads to hell. I have to ask you, what path are you on this morning? Where is your heart? Are you walking in the path of Christ? Are you walking as one who's been forgiven by Christ and through Christ? Are you walking that path, thinking it's your own path, thinking that all these pleasures and joys that are there for you will do you good? That's the path to the grave. That's the path that will lead to eternal separation from God the Father. That's the path to hell. That path will cost you your life. The danger of falling into temptation is that it's the way of death. It will do us harm. It will do us serious harm. The nature of temptation, the danger of temptation, and then finally, the remedy for temptation, the remedy for temptation. How then do we stop from falling into temptation? How do we stop giving in time and time again? Listen to the words of the Father to the Son. Verse 1 again. Keep my words. Treasure up my commandments. Firstly, we are to know God's word. Verse 3. Bind it on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, have God's word at your fingertips. Learn it. Memorize it. Store up God's word. The more familiar we are with God's truth, the more it'll be before our eyes, and the quicker it will come into our mind when we are tempted. Isn't this what Christ did in his temptations? Every time he used the scripture, it says, it is written. It is written. God says in his word, friend, if you struggle with a certain sin, then learn a couple of verses that speak specifically about that sin. And so the next time that temptation comes along, say that verse to yourself. Remind yourself of that verse. Have it at your fingertips. Treasure it up in your heart. If the temptation is watching things that you shouldn't watch, Psalm 119, verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. If the temptation is to get angry, to steal, to be jealous, to be greedy, whatever that temptation is, get some verses together and learn them. Store God's word up in your heart. Have it at your fingertips. This is what Christ did. Know God's word. Secondly, pray. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Why would he teach them that? Because he knew that they would face temptation day after day. And Christ knows that we can't live on our own strength. We need to rely on the grace of God. We also need to remember that God's grace is there for us. His power is there. God does, and he can deliver us from temptation. And as his children, we have God the Holy Spirit living in us, equipping us, strengthening us, enabling us. We are new creations. We can obey God. So when we are tempted, pray and then obey. When that temptation comes, pray that God will keep his word and that God will give us a way out, a way to say no to sin. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Pray that God will show you the way to escape. It might be something as simple as turn off the TV or the computer. It might be something as simple as leave the room because of that person who makes your blood boil. Walk away from that situation. Or it might be something as simple as being brave enough to say no to your friends. Pray. Pray that God will deliver. Pray that God will strengthen. Pray that he will give you the way of escape. Pray. Know God's word. Pray. Thirdly, avoid places where we will be tempted. Avoid places where we will be tempted. Verses 6 to 9 of Proverbs 7. The father's been looking out of his window and he's seen young men out in the street. It's late at night. And what are they doing? But they're walking past the front door of the woman they should be avoiding. A young man is simply flirting with temptation. He walks right past her door in the dark of the night. Never do that. Never think to ourselves, I'll be strong enough. I can get this close to sin without sinning. That's foolishness. That's stupidity. To avoid temptation, if at all possible, don't even go there. If it's flicking through the channels late at night, don't do it. Don't even go there. Find something else to do. If it's sitting on the internet by yourself, don't do it. Find safeguards. Find ways not to be alone. If it's a certain person that is causing you to get angry or have feelings of hatred, avoid them if you can. Sometimes we might even have to be like Joseph in the Old Testament, the young man who simply ran away. He left Potiphar's wife standing there. He avoided the place of temptation. If at all possible, avoid the places where we will face temptation. And then lastly and fourthly, look to Christ. Look to Christ. Friends, there is one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. Christ isn't just our example. He's not just the one that we are to follow in how he lived. But Christ also lives in us by his Spirit. and as one who was able to say no to temptation, he is able to help us to say no. The Spirit of Christ indwelling us, that heavenly power within us, that new life and new heart, we can say no because of Christ. So he is there to help us when we are tempted. He gives us the strength to endure. And he prays for us. John 17, verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Christ prays for us every day that we will not fall into temptation. Right now in heaven, our living Savior, God the Son, the one who's been raised from the dead, is interceding for us. And so look to him when we are being tempted. Focus on Christ. And then also remind ourselves as we look to Christ that in him there is forgiveness. There's been one who's been tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. And he willingly took the punishment that we deserve. The one who endured temptation more than we could. The one who suffered under the weight of temptation without breaking more than we ever could. He was punished in our place. He suffered and died for our rebellion. With him, through him, there is forgiveness. And so, friends, we are to look to Christ. If and when we do stumble, if and when we do choose the wrong path, when our heart turns aside to her ways, when we stray into her paths, look to Christ and remember that in him there is forgiveness. And look to him for strength, that we may not turn our heart aside to the wrong way. And look to him as the one who prays for us, that we may not stray into her paths. Look to him as our example, that we may know we can walk with him. Look to him as the one who alone forgives. Wise words for when we are tempted. Amen.